Welcome to the Wine by History podcast. I'm your host, Max Hamill, and with me as always is Patty.
Hello.
And we are broadcasting from beautiful Michigan. We're up in the UP in Menominee, Michigan at the family cabins and enjoying ourselves. And we thought we'd do an episode up here.
For those of you that don't know, the UP stands for the Upper Peninsula, which is attached to Wisconsin, not Michigan, but it's Michigan.
You can tell which one of us is from Wisconsin.
It's true. I am. Anyway.
I just lived there for 2 years. Anyways, today we are drinking Sauvignon Blanc. Not Blanc, Blanc, because it's the 19 Crimes version. I am really enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. It's a little different. It's not very fruity.
No.
But at the same time, it doesn't have that grassy taste that you sometimes get from... Is it American? Where's it from?
No, it's from Australia.
It is from Australia, but it doesn't have that sort of grassy taste.
It has 12% alcohol, so we're rocking.
Is that a lot for wine? I don't know. I think that's pretty average, actually.
It's average, I guess. I don't know.
What does he know about wine? But, you know, it's good. It tastes really clean. Like I said, not especially fruity, but it doesn't have that super grassy overtones that you sometimes get from Australia or New Zealand, but it's really good.
One of the things I do not like about white wine is that high acid I get out of it. Not everyone does, but I get like this high acid. This doesn't have that.
No.
It's more mellow.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. Anyway, and 19 Crimes, if you don't know, has that special
app. There's an app, and you can look in the guy, in the lady, or character. Well, it's a character. It's sometimes a male, sometimes a female. They'll be on the wine bottle, and you show it, and they explain what they did wrong.
Yeah, you hold your phone up to it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They just start talking, and they talk about their crime, because criminals were sent to Australia.
Everything from forging keys. There was actually the comedian Bill Hicks had a really great bit about it, and I'm going to do it right now, even though I shouldn't. But he's passed. But his joke was, wait a second. We're in London. You keep the bad food and the bad weather, and we get the Great Barrier Reef and lobsters the size of canoes. I'm Jack the Ripper.
That's pretty good. All right, so who are we talking about tonight?
Well, since we're drinking 19 Crimes, I thought we'd talk about Pat Crow.
All right. I know nothing about Pat
Crow. No one knows anything about Pat Crow. That's why I picked him. So I was actually at a Half Price Books Festival where they had this big festival, and I saw this book, World Hunt Me Down. I pick it up, and it just talks about one of the first successful kidnappers in America. This is interesting. I buy the book, and it turns out it's historical fiction. And I've been reading it, but I didn't want to read it all the way because I didn't think it would mess with my source material in my mind. But just flicking through, it looks really good. So here's the thing. So Pat Crow pulled off the first successful kidnapping in America. But that's not what makes him just interesting. It's a lot more interesting than that. And we're going to talk about him.
Okay.
So he was basically a butcher turned bank robber turned kidnapper turned 15 different other things. And he was born in Iowa. In the Wild West days. He was born in 1864, but keep in mind that the Wild West days didn't end till 1911. It ended, and then World War I began.
Yeah.
And even then, people still had that culture and mentality until probably some places to this day. So his mother died when he was 17, and he decided to move to Omaha, Nebraska. There he ran a successful butcher shop with his business partner, Callahan. And he was a very hardworking businessman, just a tough Iowa guy. And it was absorbed by the, I'm going to try and pronounce his name correctly, Kudahy Meatpacking Empire. This guy, Edward Kudahy, had this vast meatpacking empire that grew. Back then there was no unions. There was very little in the way of workers' rights. You could get paid in script, which would be, 75 cents on the dollar. And basically, you'd be in debt to the company store, because that's the company store was the only place you could buy things your whole life.
It doesn't sound too hard to become successful with that kind of a racket, though.
If you're, there was a lot of class division at the time as a result of that kind of things. Yeah, I mean, it was not fun. Pat Crow was forced to work at the meat packing company for basically slave wages. And Kudahy was famous for breaking up the unions, and he was famous for being a hard taskmaster. could I stumble over any more words?
So wait, he was responsible for breaking the unions.
Kudahy, no. Kudahy, that was the owner of the meatpacking empire, yeah. And he made sure that there were no unions against him.
Okay.
Pat Crow, did I misspeak? Pat Crow just became part of it, and he hated it because he was a successful businessman turned into just another drone. And then Kudahy personally fired him for allegedly stealing meat and money.
So he could pretty much just, you could pretty much just fire anybody for any reason.
Basically. But back then, people would just shoot you. So there's a turnaround. If you piss someone off enough, they'll just get drunk and put a bullet in your head. So at the same time,
you got to weigh your options.
Yeah, you got to weigh your options. And so he was fired in 1897, and he became a bank robber.
Right.
Because that's just what you did back then. And then and he got caught and was served time in Joliet State Penitentiary.
Joliet, yeah. And Joliet, sorry. It's Joliet, right? Yeah. We have a couple people from Chicago sitting in the background, but they're not here. But they know it's Joliet.
They do not exist. And so, anyways, but he was sentenced to 7 years. He was released after 3 in 1900. And Pat blamed all of his life's ills on Kudahy, which makes sense. Your mother dies when you're 17. You go make a big success out of yourself. And then next thing you know, you're robbing banks and in jail. I'd be kind of mad, too. So, on December 18th, 1900, Ed Kudahy Jr. was delivering magazines to the local doctor that his father didn't want anymore because the doctor loaned the magazine. He's walking back, and he was stopped by 2 men wearing masks claiming to be detectives. The pair pointed pistols at him, and they pointed him right in his face and said, "You're coming with us because you are the robber McGee, and we've been looking for you for a long time." And Ed Jr. was like, "You're crazy." Tried the pistols out of his face, and that didn't work out so well. So they beat him up, tied him up, dragged him to a buggy. For those of you who don't know, a buggy is a small carriage. Drove him to an abandoned house in the area, handcuffed him to a table, gave him some food, and then got drunk, drinking their success. While those 2 men, by the way, and the robbers were Crow and Callahan.
Who's Callahan again?
Callahan was his business partner.
Okay.
And while this is going on, while they're drinking inside their abandoned house, 7,000 people are looking for the boy, and then...
Oh, how old was he?
He's a teenager.
Aww.
Early teens, like 12.
Kidnapped a teenager.
Well, your dad's a jerk.
Well, it doesn't matter that his dad's a jerk. Still, he's a kid. He's innocent. I'm sorry, that just bothers me.
How do you know?
Well,
how do you know this kid's not like a copy clone his father?
Well, that's true.
Soulless monster.
Still, he's a kid. Kidnap a kid.
It gets better.
Okay.
So, and then this is the kind of man Kudahy was. He said, "If you don't go look for my son, you don't have a job tomorrow. So 2,000 workers were also looking for the son. So a total of 9,000 people couldn't find this kid.
I got to be honest. If someone kidnapped my son and I had out 2,000 workers, I'd be like, guess what you're doing today? You're finding my kid.
But they didn't. And so one day they found a note. The next day they found a note in the lawn saying, "If you don't give us $25,000, it's over for Junior." And they reminded him of, in 1894. 5 or 7, another millionaire's son was kidnapped, never heard from again.
Okay.
Now, these are not these kind of, these, deep down, my impression of the story, but these men were just pissed off at Kudahy for ruining their lives.
Yeah. And a little desperate, maybe.
Oh, very desperate. Desperate. I mean, you went from successful butcher to bank robber. That can't be fun to take. Well, so what the note said was they wanted $25,000 in gold. Now, back then, I actually forgot to look up how much that'd be worth today, but I believe it's 1900. So, $1920 you multiply by 7. I want to guess about $500,000.
Okay.
I want to guess because I don't have all my facts checked, but.
Not important. A lot of money.
A lot of money and in gold. And the exchange happened early in the morning. That all went smoothly. And Junior was free and spoke very well of his captors.
Oh, so it worked out.
It all worked out.
It kind of worked out
then. But they were successful. And then almost immediately they thought, where's Crow? Where's Callahan? They showed him pictures, and they was like, the kid was like, "Yep, that's them. I saw them drinking with their masks off." But they made it out of this. They made it out of the area. So, you know, there was no interstate laws back then. Mm-hmm. Very few. That's why the U.S. Marshals were a thing. There were not a lot of laws. And that's why you could, you know, run off to another state. I'm not wanted in Texas. I'm only wanted in Nebraska. Do not ever let me do a John Wayne impression ever again. That was terrible.
Oh, that was John Wayne. Oh, okay.
That was a,
sure. Okay.
Shame on me. Shame on me.
Anyways, I thought that was just Max.
That was just Max. It's not just Max. Anyways, so those two lit out, but they made it notice, and you can actually look up old articles in the New York Times archives.
Cool.
That they found him. That Crow was like found in, seen in New York, then seen in London. This kidnapping shocked the nation. This kidnapping was like, oh, what would be a good modern corollary? It would be like, I can't think of any examples because I don't want to get politics on the show. What do you think? Something that really would shock the nation.
I don't know. There's so many things, but I get it. It was shocking back then, but I think the fact that it worked, like they treated their captive, you know, pretty well, was nice. Still scary. I mean, it'd be super, super scary to be kidnapped, but at least, you know, they fed
these
them
men
and
were
stuff.
Huge celebrities back then because in the 1900s, outlaws were still glorified. And outlaws being back then were a bit glorified. I'm getting more wine. They were glorified because they were brave. A lot of times there'd be brave men that faced off in the street with an equal chance of getting killed, you know? They're not sneaking around in an alley necessarily.
Yeah.
So they're having the stereotypical gunfight. Those gunfights did happen. So they were considered brave, courageous men, Robin Hoods. I digress.
Well, I'm glad the guy got his kid back. It all worked out. Yeah, he's $25,000 lighter.
That was nothing,
but yeah, it probably was nothing and he got his kid back. So yeah, maybe it did all work out. And he shouldn't have fired those guys.
Yeah. Well, if anyone's a history fan, this was like the Amelia Earhart missing. This was like, modern corollary is on the tip of my tongue. It would be the amount of shock would be a terrorist attack. That's how much shock.
Seriously.
That's how it gets better. Like everyone knew about it. Everyone's freaking out about it. Some people loved Crow and Callahan for it. They were famous.
No kidding.
They were Kanye West famous.
Wow.
Yeah. For a little while. And everyone's looking for these guys. Everyone's looking for this. They can't find him. And eventually they catch Callahan. They caught Callahan in 1901, 1 year later. And while this is going on, Crow and Callahan are sending them letters saying, "No, we didn't do it. No, we didn't do it. Okay, we did do it. Do we want the money back?" Because they thought everyone was going to get him. They caught Callahan. Finds out Nebraska, because it was 1901, didn't really have any laws against kidnapping.
Perfect.
They didn't have any laws about kidnapping. So Callahan was just like, "What? I'm free. Awesome." He got him. And then...
But they had one after that, though. But they made one.
Well, then, in 1906, Crow got bored being amazing and came back. He came back because he felt guilty. Because he was a good, honest, hardworking American.
Hmm.
But while he was... Those 6 years when he was missing, he was fighting the Boer War. For those who don't know, the Boer War is a war in southern Africa between the Dutch Boer farmers and the British Empire. And it was a pretty nasty war. And it was the British dominating southern Africa. That's what it was about. And he became a British soldier, fought in the war, came back, said, "Here's 20 grand. I only spent 5 of it."
Wow.
Well, guess what was happening at the time?
Hmm.
Unions were forming.
Mm-hmm.
Kudahy was considered a monster. Public sentiment against him was on the rise. When he got off the train, there was all this hatred towards Kudahy and love to Crow. More people showed up for him walking down that train in Nebraska than showed up for Teddy Roosevelt's reelection speech.
Wow. And we've never heard of this man. Well, he's
Now you have. Tweet me.
And that's what this show's about. You learn about these people, never heard of.
So he sits down in that courtroom. Now there are laws against it.
Yeah, but certainly are.
Everyone hates, all these unions are moving against Kudahy. He's paying these slave wages, and Crow gets acquitted.
Awesome.
So, and he becomes a lecturer about business, about trust funds, trust accounts, why they aren't good for America. All, and he goes on in all these lectures. And then from 1907, I believe, to when he passed in 1938, he sent letters to Junior saying, just postcards, hi, how are you doing? Signed, your old kidnapper. And Edward kept these because he had such a nice memory of Crow.
He had a good kidnapping. Yeah. It was probably like camp. It was really fun.
Can I see your pistol? This is great.
I mean, we're way beyond Stockholm Syndrome there.
Well, I think what it comes down to is Crow is a good man who's desperate.
Yeah.
I mean, he got $25,000 in gold and it's like, I haven't earned this righteously. You can have it back. That's insane.
Yeah.
If you told that to most kidnappers today, they'd be like, what?
If so, it was a different kind of kidnapping. It wasn't just pure greed. He was motivated by
something. He wanted revenge. And I really do think he was a good man.
Yeah, he probably wanted to point out.
Part of it was, back then, the industrialists basically did have, flat out, too much power.
Yeah.
Unions came up as a result of that. Ironically, we're talking about unions two shows in a row, but they're connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's awesome. So do we have any final thoughts on Mr. Crow before we end our episode?
Anyone who gives back the kidnapping money, gives the victim letters every year for their life, and turns their life around to become a celebrated lecturer and author, it's really dang, in my opinion, a good person who screwed up.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
So I don't know who I'm studying next week. So if you guys have any suggestions, tweet us. Our Twitter has is one about history, one. And...
yeah, we welcome your comments and feedback and anything you'd like to hear. And we'd love to hear from you.
This is an update. Our microphones have been acting goofy. I don't know what's going on. I've been doing my job to edit them and figure everything out. And they upload it and it just doesn't sound right. So if anyone out there is an audio expert and wants to slide into my DMs and tell me what's going on, I'd be happy to find out.
Cool.
So, all right. Thank you so much for listening. And remember...
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here.